Part 1.
Extract number 1.
I was reading about food history, and I was also getting involved in the food politics of the time. It was the mid-1990s, and Alice Waters was beginning to advocate for a new way of thinking about what eating right looked like, what it meant to be a good eater, connecting that, as you know, to the environment. And I was reading about a group of dietary reformers who, at the end of the late 19th century, so 100 years earlier, had wanted to teach people to eat right because they believed that they could improve their characters, teach them moral values, solve major social problems by teaching people how to eat right. And I noticed an interesting similarity, that Alice Waters was essentially making the same argument that if you taught people to eat right, they would become more responsible citizens, and that you could solve major social problems by changing the way people ate. But what really struck me was that while they were so similar in their ideas about why we should teach people to eat right, their dietary advice couldn't have been more different. The turn of the century dietary reformers thought people should be more scientific, more precise, more rational, and sort of detached from the sensuality of their food. Alice Waters' story was entirely different. It was about reconnecting with history and tradition and sensuality.
Extract number 2.
So it's Token Apps is the website, but it's an iOS app at the moment, but they're working on an Android version, they tell me. And again, it's a free app and it's very simple. If you're going to go and do something risky like snow sports or, you know, even if you're going out for a night out with somebody that you've met from the internet, for example, you know, anything that you think, well, I should let people know where I am and when I'm safe. Obviously, if you're not safe, it's difficult to let people know. So this token, you set the token, it gives you a geolocation marker. So it tells the phone where you are exactly in the world. You put a note on it to say what you're doing, and you apply it to a friend, a contact who's been pre-warned that they're your contact. And then you give it an amount of time. And if you don't deactivate the app within that amount of time, even if your phone is not actionable, for example, you've fallen into a river with it or something, an alert will be sent. If you don't deactivate that token within the time limit specified, an alert will be sent to your friend saying, there may be a problem, get in touch, see if you can, this is where they were last seen and this is what they were doing.
Extract number 3.
Over the past 20 years, Anthony Dunn and Fiona Raby have become world leaders in an alternative movement in modern design, located somewhere between product design, sociology, and science fiction. What do you mean by critical design?
Critical design, I guess, is about using design to ask questions rather than provide answers. So usually when we design stuff, we're trying to meet a practical need like illumination for working at our desk, phones for communicating. With critical designs, we're trying to get people to think about stuff, really. So it aims more at the mind and the imagination than practicality.
In 2005, Dunn and Raby turned their attention to how headline-grabbing new human genome research might affect the dating habits of the future. They came up with the evidence doll, an object designed for women to record the genetic information of their lovers, including a DNA sample. This data could prove vital in their search for the perfect biological partner.
Extract number 4.
Let's talk about what you call the tiger parent and the jellyfish parent, the two ends of the spectrum, I guess.
Yeah, so the research is really clear in parenting, and actually most any human relationship, this can be applied to a boss or a teacher or a friend. But on one end of the spectrum of relationships is the tiger personality or relationship, which is overbearing, pushy, but also really importantly, micromanaging. That helicopter parent, that hovering parent is a tiger too, because they're authoritarian, they take over internal motivation, and it ends up having all kinds of downsides, including lack of independent problem solving. And if you can't problem solve independently, you're going to have anxiety, depression. Life gets difficult. On the other end of that spectrum is the jellyfish parent, and it could be a boss or a teacher. And this individual lacks rules and expectations in their relationships. They lack focus. And we see problems with impulse control. Kids look to peers for guidance, not parents or authority. They've never heard the word no. We see higher drug and alcohol problems and academic issues in that group.
Extract number 5.
On the 1st of December 1919, the first woman took her seat as an MP in the British Parliament. Her name was Lady Nancy Astor, and she was American.
Born in Virginia, on the east coast of America, Nancy Astor had arrived in Britain on a trip with her father as a young 20-something divorcee.
I came over here with him to hunt.
To hunt foxes in England?
In England, 1904. I didn't come to catch a husband, I came to catch a fox.
The man she caught was Waldorf Astor, a newspaper proprietor and heir to a peerage. But it wasn't politics or ideology that drove Nancy Astor to become the first woman MP in Parliament. Her grandson David Astor says it was Waldorf.
The reason she did it was that my grandfather, her husband, who was the MP for Plymouth Sutton, just said to her, "Can you keep the seat warm while I go into the House of Lords to try to renounce my peerage?" Once she got into the House of Commons, she actually rather enjoyed it because she loved showing off.
British women had only won the right to vote the year before, after a long, often violent fight by the suffragettes and others. So when the by-election was called in late 1919, Lady Astor threw herself into the campaign.
Part 2.
Amid the tall citrus trees of Okinawa, Japan, Suni Ganaha is busy picking fruit as she does 8 hours every day. It's not what she does, but who she is that's remarkable. I just turned 90, she says. Age 90. Climbing tree after tree, hauling down bags of fruit, and doesn't remember a day she's ever been sick in her nearly 70 years on this farm. Ganaha's 54 and 61-year-old daughters say good luck trying to get her to retire. We can't stop her, they say. And why would they? She's the best climber in the family. Ganaha is just one of many very active seniors in their 90s and 100s in the town of Ogimi, defying the physical odds of age. Here they run, they dance. In a culture where Alzheimer's, cancer, and heart disease is unheard of among these elders. We met 96-year-old Toyohide Taira, who loves to flirt with the ladies, who tells young people, don't get married. You'll be sick of your spouse when you're 90.
If you're looking for a place that has that right mix of factors, then you've come to the right place.
Gerontologist Craig Wilcox has been studying longevity in Okinawa for 15 years, an island that has the highest percentage of centenarians anywhere in the world. He points to a number of factors. The Okinawan diet, very low in fat, salt, and sugar. This traditional lunch plate is filled with papaya, tofu, and dark leafy vegetables. At this weekend event, they snack on citrus fruits and sip unsweetened green tea. They exercise and work well into old age. There's a good, affordable healthcare system that focuses on prevention and a strong sense of community that values optimism. Where older people remain active and respected. Wilcox says any community can replicate this.
We still refer to these types of diseases as age-associated disease back in North America. Well, people don't do that anymore here. There's tremendous amount of control that people have over these diseases if they live the right lifestyle.
Just like this?
Right.
So you eat this as you're working?
Hi.
Suni Ganaha's family swears by a daily dose of Okinawan citrus. Sour. But more importantly, working and being close to family. A recipe she says will keep her hiking these hills for more years to come. Kyung Law, CNN, Okinawa, Japan.